Australia is one of seven people. Sometimes they experience depression. Now, that's something from Australia, but I think it also could be said about America. But that's really a lot. One in seven people experience depression at some time in their life, and a quarter will experience an anxiety condition. And according to the World Health Organization, across the world, about 300 million people of all ages are currently suffering from depression. Can you imagine? Well, Psalm 88 powerfully expresses the painful suffering of those who are depressed. We've seen that as many as half of all the Psalms are laments or continue some kind of lament. But no Psalm is as bleak, as despairing as Psalm 88. In context, I think the book of Psalms deliberately highlights its sense of despair. As you remember in Psalm 87, it ends with the words, "As they make music, they will sing. All of my fountains are in you." And then Psalm 89 begins, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever." And Psalm 88 almost seems to mock all that of joyful praises in the songs that come before it and even after it. I think as many of the laments, Herman, the songwriter of this specific detail of his troubles in Psalm 88 verse 3, suggests that he is more concerned about his pain that they caused him. Now, Herman points figuratively and squarely to God. He says, "You have put me in the lowest pits. You have overwhelmed me with your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends, like Job." Herman knows and confesses that the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Job chapter 1 verse 21. But unlike Job, he cannot say, "May the name of the Lord be praised," and he blames God for being the ultimate cause of all of his troubles. So how do we, as Christ followers, who has experienced God's amazing love and grace in the Lord Jesus, respond to a psalm like Psalm 88? I think we must first acknowledge that there may be times in our life when we feel the darkness. And even our closest friends sometimes, we have darkness. Some believers sadly suffer with clinical depression. And just last week, you read maybe of a godly young pastor who had suffered from depression and tragically took his life. Christians will go through tough times also in physical and mental suffering and bereavement and failure and disappointment, persecution. Wow, may we feel that God has hidden us. Oh, no, he hadn't hidden his face from us. No, it's all there. But Psalm 88 gives us permission to cry out. I like that. It gives us permission to cry loudly to the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to talk to him. He wants to challenge him. He wants us to communicate with him. And I think Herman calls out God for that in verses 2, 9, and 13. Basically, he's saying, for all his pain, Herman says, "I never stop praying." Now, he may feel God has turned his face against him, but he continues to turn his face towards God. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Jesus said, "In this world you'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world." Because we know it's going to be a tough life. But when we experience God's grace and love and the promise of eternity to be with him, I think it's the most wonderful thing as we as Christians can say, "Thank you, God, for all your grace that you have bestowed upon us with your Son, Jesus Christ." Now, Herman didn't have that experience with Jesus coming into the world and helping him through. So Herman had only had the vaguest understanding of life beyond the grave. But we know that the day is coming when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Why? Because Jesus came and died and rose again on the third day. So we have certain hope that our darkness will end. Revelation chapter 22 verse 5 said, "For the Lord will give them light." Wow! We have so much of a blessing, the promise of eternal life. Because we know that this life will end sometime. So if we don't have the hope of something much better ahead, as you heard me paraphrase the Apostle Paul many times, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God for the Lord Jesus, who came and died on the cross and taken away all of our sin. The third day he rose from the dead, giving us eternal life, hope, and joy, and peace. Now, Psalm 88 is really, it's no doubt, it's a brutally honest psalm. But we as Christians sometimes wear a mask to hide our doubts and questions, don't we? And even anger at God. And I think, why do we do that? Well, I think Psalm 88 kind of addresses that situation. Because in the light of this psalm, how could you comfort someone who is angry with God and feels the darkness that is my closest friend? Well, you just don't know the people that in days gone by before us and before Christ came into this world, how they had to handle situations like that and to be able to cry out to God. Now, I think God heard him. I think God helped him through some things. But, you know, I don't really know that, because if you see the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament, or is he, and revealed in the New Testament. So the Spirit of God has always been available. And we are so blessed to have God finally humble himself and come to his creation as one like us, so that he could experience everything that we experience. Yet, he took all the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary. But I think of Jesus when he was on the cross, when he cried out, "Oh my God, why have thou forsaken me?" That was a prophecy from Psalm 22. And I often wondered about that. Because the Old Testament people knew that there could not be any forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. They knew that. And here their hope is on the cross, bleeding and dying, and he finally cried out, "Oh my God, why have thou forsaken me?" And they must have wondered, why has God forsaken him? But God didn't forsake him. But what happened was God could not be in the presence of sin. And he looked at his son on the cross, and he had the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. And Jesus felt that brief separation from the love of the Father. But before Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Repentance, forgiveness, grace. And then when Jesus gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, signifying that we now have direct access to the Holy of Holies because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. No longer do we need a priest. No longer do we have to have a sacrifice from the blood animals and that kind of stuff to forgive our sins. No, we can go directly to the throne of grace in Jesus' precious name and receive love and grace and the promise of eternal life if we'll only believe. Confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from all those doubts and all those angers. And more importantly, saved for damnation. What a wonderful gospel we have. The good news of Jesus. Well, I hope and pray that you are having a good day. And thank you for tuning in to the Word is the Way to Life podcast. Because it is Jesus, who is the Word, manifested in the flesh, who came to show us the way. Before we were called Christ followers, we were called the way. Jesus showed us the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. And I hope and pray you know this precious Savior in a personal and loving way, because it's a simple prayer for simple people. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. Come into my life and be Lord over it. And I can tell you, there may be not be thunder and lightning, but I can tell you, your life will be better in Jesus' name. And little by little by little, all that stuff in your life will be pruned out as you prepare for eternity in the precious name of Jesus. Have a wonderful day.